Well, greetings, everybody. This is Tabitha back for an edition of Health Bites. This is my small show where it goes for about, an hour or so, and we talk about, well, something healthy. This is the number two episode of this little small show that I do right here. And hello to everyone in the chat so far. We've got a couple of people listening. Nice to see. And Sarmenti is just saying, I was just listening to a very old broadcast of Mike's, and he was talking to someone called David in Texas. Interesting guy. Yeah, definitely interesting guy, and an interesting broadcast he had himself back in the day. Very interesting information. I think those are still available somewhere. Maybe on, what's that one? I forget. Sometimes you can find them somewhere. Maybe if you're interested, Sarmenti, you can email me, and I could help you with that. So yeah, this is the Health Bites show, Health Bites with Tabitha, Arian Upgrade. And I figured today we'd talk about, well, some natural ways to make ourselves upgraded via nature, because we're always presented with so many things to do to, quote, upgrade or make ourselves better. And most of the time it's just synthetic, right? Synthetic crud that actually makes us backpedal. Crazy stuff. So I want to start off the broadcast for today talking about some herbs. I like that pronunciation better than herbs. I usually say that in the UK or in Canada, but I like it. I like saying herbs. So a little bit about some herbs that we can utilize in food and how those will help us. This is a time of year when a lot of herbs are fecundant, meaning they've come to full fruition, right? So herbs give food a more complex flavor and also provide some major health benefits, and they taste pretty darn good as well. Most are a rich, dense source of micronutrients and antioxidants, and this is such a great time to enjoy them. The farm markets are filled with all kinds of spring varieties right now. Use them as fresh finishers scattered over your dishes, toss into sauces and dips and pestos, or bring some earthiness to fruity and chocolatey desserts. So here's a little guide about herbs, and most of these you've probably already heard about, but always good to hear about them again and how to use them in new and fresh ways. And even if you're living somewhere where you don't have a lot of space, let's say, you can still do some stuff on the windowsill and still get some fresh homemade food into your diet. So don't think just because you don't have, you know, tons of land or yard that you can't do something like this. You definitely can. So what are some of these wonderful herbs? One of them would be mint. And there are, of course, many varieties. There's over 600 varieties of mint, actually. And lemon balm is in the mint family. That's a pretty nice herb right there. Very good for relaxation and stuff like that. So sweet and refreshing. It comes in over 600 varieties. Mint has an energizing effect, also helping with digestion. Usually the peppermint one is more for digestion than the spearmint one. And how to utilize. Sprinkle the leaves over fresh berries, melons, plums, and add a drizzle of honey. Add some fresh mint to hibiscus iced tea. Or enjoy a cup of hot mint tea after a meal. Just steep a handful of mint sprigs in some boiling water. And that makes a pretty good tea, especially if you add some lemongrass. You can just get dried lemongrass by the tea bag. Mint and lemongrass tea is a really nice cooling tea. Both of those herbs would be considered cooling in Ayurvedic medicine, which of course is our lineage, just like yoga, which is asana, pranayama, mantra, kriya, all this stuff together. That's also our lineage, as is tantra, which is sacred sexuality. And of course the Zog system, Shitsdom, always shows us the opposite of that. So mint, a very familiar herb to most. It's a perennial, meaning it comes up all the time. Just something to think about there, some new ways to use it in cold and hot beverages, as well as on fruit. On fruit just sounds delicious, especially those fruits they mentioned, berries, melons, and plums. All of those are coming into season right now too, which is great. Berries I've really been liking as of late, especially with cream. So another herb that's really great and fecundant this time of year is parsley. The grassy flavor and deep color add vibrancy to dishes. Tip: the flat leaf variety has brighter notes than the curly leaf. And that's true. The flat one, what they usually call Italian parsley, does have a brighter taste, but I think they both have their use. Parsley is rich in antioxidants, vitamin K, that would be K1, because animal foods typically have the K2, and beta carotene, which is the plant version of vitamin A, A lot of us cannot convert that into retinol. I think it's a nice idea to have sources of both in the diet. How do we use parsley? The herb is actually a member of the carrot family. Think about whenever you see a carrot in the store, what the top of the carrot looks like. Kind of looks like parsley, right? Go back to its roots by making a fresh parsley sauce. Simply combine it with olive oil and garlic, kind of like a loose pesto with no cheese, and top grilled or roasted carrots with it. That actually sounds pretty good. So all you do is you whiz up in a blender a little bit of parsley, olive oil, and garlic, and then you can top that with grilled carrots. That could also be good on raw carrots too, like a shredded raw carrot salad. I might cut out the garlic for that because it's pretty strong, but sounds pretty good. In the case of the salad, you could always add a little bit of vinegar or lemon juice to kind of mix it all together, but a nice fresh way to use parsley. I love to garnish like every soup with either parsley or cilantro too. All right, another herb, chives. These have delicate notes of onion and garlic, and they definitely do. I'm thinking of a potato right now, like a sour cream and chive baked potato. Chives have been found to reduce, or rather help reduce inflammation. How to use them? Blend chopped chives into cashew cream. They're telling us this is, you know, okay. Blend them into sour cream, okay? And make a punchy plant base, where they're saying with the cashews. No, blend them into raw sour cream, raw cream fraiche, raw strained Greek yogurt, something like that. Butter, it'd be amazing in butter. Then you can put a little chunk of that butter on top of a steak, what they call a compound butter, where you mix butter with other things when it's soft and then roll it into a little roll, chill it, and then slice those little things onto top of the steak. It's saying add the chive blossoms, which are these beautiful like purple flowers on top. Add the chive blossoms to salads or steep them in vinegar and use as a vinaigrette. Pretty groovy idea right there. Another herb right now is sage. Sage has an earthy taste and is punctuated with hints of mint, lemon, and pepper. What are the health perks of sage? Sage contains active compounds that studies show may help improve memory, concentration, and mood. How to utilize it? Quickly saute sage in a skillet with olive oil until crisp, and garnish savory or sweet dishes with the fried leaves. Add chopped sage to a tomato sauce. Muddle the herb with blackberries, lime juice, and honey, or use as the base for a summer cocktail. And something else I've done with sage is put it in a jar and then cover it with honey and then let that sit. And then you have like a sage infused honey. I've tried that with Thai basil rather as well, when I had like an intense amount that was grown. So I was like, what am I going to do with it? So I did this with it. I will mention this though, that sage is considered an estrogenic herbs, or anyone out there who's looking to maybe mitigate estrogen. We live in a sea of estrogen nowadays, this Zog sea of estrogen. Want to talk about estrogenic, I think of the OIDAI vaccination. I mean, yikes. But yeah, just something to be mindful of with sage. And finally, rosemary. This herb has an intoxicating woody flavor and aroma. Rosemary has been shown to help boost mental clarity, increase concentration, and improve memory. How to utilize it? Sprinkle rosemary over vegetables before grilling or roasting. Finally, chop it and add to a marinade. Garnish dishes with rosemary blossoms, which bloom in the spring and summer. And oftentimes to have access to the blossoms of rosemary, the top, like the blossom part of the chive, you need to be able to grow it or get it from like a farm market type of situation. So those are some ideas right there for some herbs that may add some zip to your meals. And sometimes they're just really good, just shredded on top of anything that you're eating. You just kind of rip a few pieces off and throw it on top of what you're eating. Sometimes when I'm snacking on like some raw meat, I'll just rip up like a couple of basil or cilantro leaves and just like throw that on top of the meat or on top of a soup or whatever. Yeah, just a bit right there. All right, so the next thing was a bit more about herbs. This one's going to be about parsley. We talked a wee bit about parsley before, but just a little bit more about parsley, the power of parsley. And oftentimes these days, you'll hear some people actually talking shit about parsley, which is kind of a weird thing to talk shit about. But a lot of people are obsessed with this whole oxalates thing, which I kind of got into about a year plus ago. Talked about it a bit. It was like when the whole anti-nutrient thing was like really hot and buzzy because of the that Jewish carnivore diet that's been circling around. So for a while, people were pissing and moaning and howling about oxalates, parsley being a source of oxalic acid, but it actually goes deeper than that. And of course, Zog always likes people to just focus on the reaction, not the problem. That's like, that's so typical of like something like Oyed AI or germ theory, when the reaction is that people are getting ill because of toxicity, when the problem wasn't a virus, it was toxins. That's a pretty good example. And the whole oxalate thing kind of works the same way. Parsley being a rich source of oxalic acid, also raspberries, beets, blackberries, chocolate. These are like the foods that are very high in oxalic acid. So some people who are doing those carnivorous diets were looking to totally delete foods that had oxalic acid, or I guess for them, they'd probably delete all plant foods, I guess. People who were doing more of the ketotic stuff would just want to delete the ones that had high oxalic acid, but they kind of missed the boat with the whole thing. And it's easy to miss the boat when you believe in stuff like germ theory, when you're only seeing the reaction to the problem, not the actual problem. But of course, remember, Zog always works via proxy, right? So here's a bit about oxalates, and I figured I'd bring it up because we're talking about parsley and we're talking about the benefits of parsley. And like I said, some people are talking shit about parsley. Oxalates, one of the many new age deceptions. And yeah, there's a lot of new age deceptions out there, isn't there? So here's a bit about oxalates. Random thing I found out about mold and fungus. The mold clings onto and chelates metals tightly and digests it. Remember, all these things in our body, fungi, bacteria, parasites, viruses, these are friendly and they basically will eat the toxins that our body has been, you know, inundated with, assaulted with, essentially. So remember that as I'm reading this. So the mold clings onto and chelates metals tightly and digests it, then converts those metals, those toxins, into oxalates before getting excreted out of the body. Turns out this is why people are scared of oxalates in their urine. They blame oxalates as the cause of symptoms by association, just like how they blame the virus. When really, the oxalates are used by our body to detox the heavy metals that cause things like autism in the first place. So again, so Zoggy, they're always looking to basically blame the helper, right? So Zoggy, just like blaming viruses, want to blame the helper. Very, very Zoggy stuff right there, but I figured I would settle that. And this comes from the Ogenus online website, the website people keep going, one of the websites that people keep going for Ogenus von der Planitz, who passed away back in 2013. So people who are talking shit about oxalates are not really understanding how it works and how those oxalates actually are helping to basically help chelate the mold out of the system. So pretty interesting stuff right there. And so typical of anything Zoggy, anything allopathic, always wanting to blame like the middleman, like the whole virus thing or the whole oxalates thing is like blaming a firefighter for putting out a fire as opposed to blaming the arsonists, right? But that's what this system shitstem does. That's exactly what they do. And that's why we have so many problems, because they're not seeing things from the root cause. And there's always some proxy, whether it be the primate proxy or something like a virus or oxalates, that's basically, you know, taking the heavy or looking like they're doing what they're doing. And of course, they are doing what they're doing in a certain way, but it's not necessarily what we think it is. So a bit more about parsley, now that we realize that the whole oxalate thing was just part of the Jewish carnivore diet. The power of parsley. If you're like many people, you think of parsley as more than a garnish on the edge of a dinner plate. But the International Herb Association's Herb of the Year for 2021 is parsley. Two types of parsley, like we talked earlier, curly, frequently used as a garnish. The flatter Italian is more robust, often utilized when cooking. When eaten raw, parsley freshens the breath. In tea, it boosts circulation of blood. Parsley also may help regulate blood pressure, clear bladder infections, and prevent kidney stones. And of course, We're usually be told the opposite because it's high in oxalic acid, and that's thought to be the reason for kidney stones. And of course, we have to look further back, always peel things further back. Parsley is rich in vitamins A, C, and K1, whilst also providing potassium, manganese, and other minerals. And here is a recipe for a small sauce. I'll probably post this on Talmudgram at some point, but it's for a chimichurri, which I believe is an Argentinian sauce. This is typically paired with a steak. That could be a cooked or a raw steak, depending on your fancy. Also could be utilized with seafood and vegetables, potatoes, or rice. And the sauce is as follows: quarter cup of extra virgin olive oil. I would suggest using raw. 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar. I'd also use raw. 1 small shallot. 2 garlic cloves. A Fresno chili. You could probably also use a jalapeno or a serrano. 1/2 cup of fresh flatleaf parsley. 1 tablespoon of fresh oregano. And 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt. You could add less or leave it out. And you whisk all that together, chopping all the things I mentioned, shallot, garlic, chili, and parsley, and oregano. And then you have this sauce. Or you could also buzz it up in a blender, too, and get more of a pesto-like texture. But a great way to have herbs. And especially if you're trying raw meat for the first time, it's nice to have it with some type of sauce. Like almost like when you get sushi, you know, wasabi and soy sauce. Now sushi has really taken a spin where they're doing all this stuff with mayonnaise and crunchies and all these sauces and stuff. And that's really far removed from what sushi typically is. And I think all that stuff is really not as tasty. I really want to taste the fish. And also when they're making those things with like all the spicy sauces and it's like the chopped spicy rolls, they can get away with using shitty fish because they're covering it with all that stuff. But just think of that, because that's usually the context most people have in regards to quote raw meat is something like sushi or oysters or clams or something like that. But think about making one of these fresh herb sauces and serving it with raw meat. If you're new to having raw meat, hey, you might like it. Who knows, right? And if you don't, well, try something else. So just a bit there about parsley, a bit about a chimichurri, which is kind of just like an Argentinian pesto-like sauce, but with no cheese, and it has acid or vinegar instead. All right, so a little bit there about herbs, just kind of going on with the whole theme of using natural things to upgrade us. That's why the name of the broadcast is Aryan Upgrade, because pretty much everything they sell us out there to upgrade is some type of hoax, or it's a problem reaction solution. Like I got some stuff today, I was just looking at it, some mail, it was all these coupons for stuff that probably would, you know, I don't know, just cause problems or not be fulfilling. And then this whole card about all these treatments you can get at some like salon, which I like to call a saloon, or like a spa, all this crazy toxic stuff. Like for what? For what? Like it's all problem reaction solution, that stuff. That's why it's better that we just kind of figure out how to take care of ourselves, like from like the get-go. I mean, oftentimes we fall into the snares. I've fallen into plenty, I'm sure you have too, but it's nice to kind of not fall into the snare and do it right the first way. So on that vein of herbs and freshening stuff and just lightening up for spring, Aryan Upgrade, I wanted to talk a little bit about some herbal teas on the same theme of what we're talking about today, and just trying to do a show that's not a Zog show or an antidote to Zog, because things seem pretty Zog right about now. So just wanted to put something out there this week that was a little counter to that energy. So here are some ideas for some teas, some herbal teas. So again, mint, peppermint tea, bright, cooling, and bursting with benefits, can calm an upset stomach, naturally caffeine-free. They contain essential oils such as menthol, which are responsible for cooling properties. Peppermint has been shown to help relieve IBS, like abdominal pain, flatulence, and diarrhea. Peppermint can worsen reflux or heartburn, so avoid it if you suffer from this condition. And this herb also can be slightly estrogenic, just something worth pointing out. Of course, every herb, like every food, like everything, has its own pros and cons. You know, it also depends how we're using it. Are we just, you know, searing it over a hot stove? Are we using it raw? Like, are we chopping it and infusing it and waiting? Are we fermenting it? Like, this really depends how we use it. And I should also note that oftentimes things like reflux or heartburn, which people oftentimes think is like acidic, it's actually caused by low stomach acid. Something to think about there, because most people think, oh, it's probably going to be from having too much acid, but it's usually from not producing enough. And over time, by eating a Zog diet, you end up with low stomach acid. That's why a lot of older folks can't digest a lot of stuff, or their teeth are just in a poor stead because they ate stuff that made their teeth not stay in the greatest of shape. So a little bit about peppermint tea right there. And hello, country girl. Thanks for joining us. Ginger tea. Now, this is one that I like quite a bit. I like to make it myself, actually. I just like to cut up some ginger and put it in a little bit of water and just cook that for like 10, 11 minutes on the stove and just eat that strained. I like that quite a bit. So ginger could relieve aches and pains, naturally caffeine-free. And of course, a lot of this is just symptom-based. Some of this, you know, the stuff that I'm talking about right now. And we always want to get to the root. But if you are going to treat symptoms, it makes sense to treat symptoms with something natural as opposed to something toxic, right? Because they're going to have less side effects. And for example, if you take too much ginger, that's not good, right? So there's always like a context of how much you can take. And with a lot of these herbs or plant foods, you wouldn't want to eat an unlimited amount, but with the animal food, you could get away with eating more. That just kind of tells us something right there, right? Something we can just learn from that innate wisdom. Feeling a little sore? Go for the ginger. The versatile spice boasts potent anti-inflammatory properties, and early research shows it may be helpful for alleviating arthritis pain. Both ginger and dried ginger powder contain active compounds. Of course, fresh is always best. Try this daily RX to tame inflammation and ease the aches and pains. Cut 3 thin slices of fresh ginger root, steep in 2 cups of simmering water for a few minutes, and then pour into a mug for sipping. That's pretty much how I do it. I just cook it a little bit longer. You can also steep it with black or green tea. Ginger will also help settle an upset stomach. Sometimes it also helps if your belly or your stomach just kind of feels weird, like around menstrual cycle time. Oftentimes it's enjoyed during pregnancy for stuff like morning sickness and stuff like that, which is usually caused by a liver that's not working at optimal potential. Just a bit there about ginger. Something else is chamomile, or chamomile as some people call it. It may ease anxiety, again, naturally caffeine-free. Chamomile is a herb that has been around for centuries and is one of the most commonly used and well-documented medicinal plants in the world. And there's typically 2 types. There's like a German one and a Roman one. I think that the Roman one almost is like blue if you have the essential oil, and the German one is a little bit different. The Roman one, I think, is the one that we most associate with that chamomile taste. It's perfect for those of us who are feeling a little frazzled because it can help ease anxiety and irritability. It appears to have a mild sedative effect and may also help relieve stomach tension. One small study showed that those who received chamomile extract for 8 weeks scored lower on an anxiety test than those who were given a placebo. Sip it straight or try the Tasty Spin Below. And the Tasty Spin Below is an interesting tea. It's a chamomile tea. You basically take 2 to 3 slices of oranges and 1 cup of brewed chamomile tea. And you just kind of, I guess, serve it with a wedge of orange, I suppose, as opposed to a wedge of lemon. Kind of add a little bit of sweetness to it as well. So that's something else to think about. And another herb, actually, this is a flower. This is one of my favorites, rose tea. And you can buy organic culinary roses, like dried rose petals. You can get those on Etsy or eBay. I keep these in the house. These are really great. Rose is a really feminine smell, has a really feminine energy to it. I really like it. Rose may also help relieve menstrual cramps, and again, naturally caffeine-free. If you're looking for a more elegant cup of tea, try rose tea. Featuring rose petals or buds from the bush, this subtly sweet beverage has been used as a remedy for a variety of ailments, including digestive issues and sleep problems. Plus, it boasts an antioxidant content similar to green tea. Research suggests it can improve menstrual cramps in young girls. Rosy news for sufferers. Young girls. Yikes. I guess people are getting more of that stuff nowadays. It seems so many things that we just consider kind of normal and minor are just, well, reactions to toxic diet, toxic lifestyle, toxic living situations. And we're just so used to it. Our parents were so used to it. Their parents were so used to it that we just kind of accept it. Crazy. I wonder what the younger generations who grow up in Zog are going to accept as like normal. You know, it's really probably stuff that would make our hair stand on end. So anyway, those just are some ideas for tea: peppermint tea, ginger tea, chamomile tea, and rose tea. And of course, with the ginger and the peppermint, that can be fresh. The chamomile, that would probably be dried unless you grew it fresh. You can grow it. And the rose, I guess you could grow that too. But of course, if you're going to get the roses for the tea, just make sure they're culinary grade. Otherwise, they can be terribly sprayed. And you could also mix and match these teas too, like a ginger rose tea with some honey, I think would be kind of nice right there, and kind of good, a good relaxed tea, especially a good period tea. It would also have a bit of vitamin C in it as well. Just a bit there about teas, all lovely teas, especially this time of year. All right, moving forward, let me just take a little sip of goat milk. As usual, I have my goat milk for the show. I also have some honey and some pollen. Always nice to have a little bit of a snack. And I use that picture of the green man right there because I figured that was a good picture for the show, just like a good spring picture. Everything's fecundant, it's green, you know, it's luscious, it has that energy of spring. And what an Aryan symbol the green man is, right? It's not the least bit zoggy whatsoever. So now shifting gears, wanting to talk a little bit about ways to battle bloat. And of course, this seems to be another issue with modernity, right? With just living in a modern zoggy world, whether it be the food that bloats us, whether it be the stress that bloats us, whether it be, could even be 5-Jew that causes bloating. Hey, who knows, right? So here are some ways to battle bloat. And of course, the best way to battle bloat would be to not eat foods that bloat, and to not put oneself in situations that can make our stomach go wild and haywire and then consequentially bloat. But of course, it's always good to have an idea of what to do in case we haven't done that, just so we have a backup plan. So number one way to beat bloat is bitter herbs and foods. Bitter tasting herbs stimulate the production of digestive juices, which contain hydrochloric acid, enzymes, and bile, all of which play key roles in breaking down food so it can be properly absorbed. Bitters contribute to regular bowel movements by improving gut motility and elimination via peristalsis. Adequate digestive juices also reduce the likelihood of food allergies and overgrowth of bacteria. And they're saying it's pathogenic. That overgrowth happens when there's toxicity because the overgrowth is a friend and it's trying to get rid of the toxicity. They're mentioning gut issues like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, SIBO. Of course, here they are in allopathy blaming the bacteria. There's also one called SIFO, small intestinal fungal overgrowth. Again, blaming fungus. All those friendly funguses and those bacteria buddies are just eating the poison that the body was assaulted with. And they're also talking about Helicobacter pylori, H. pylori. That's another example of gut dysbiosis. So they're saying that digestive juices not only reduce the likelihood of food allergies and these dysbiotic gut issues, they also help support the immune system. Makes total sense, right? So some bitters are artichoke leaf, dandelion root, lemon balm, catnip, chamomile, bitter lettuce greens, endive, tamarind, and turmeric. And some of these can be eaten just as their state, as is. Like you could have the endive just like in a salad, and then other things would be like a chamomile tea. It could be a dandelion root tea, stuff like that. But these are all bitter foods that can be used to help stimulate the production of digestive juices, which is one aspect of good digestion. Other aspects of good digestion is eating enough saturated fat, preferably it's raw, eating enough bacteria-rich foods, and eating enough foods that are high in minerals. Those are really important. also, but the bitters can help too, especially if someone's, let's say, eating some takeaway food, they just feel kind of like gross. They can try these bitter foods. They can also buy bitter herbs that have been steeped in like an alcohol solution. Sometimes you can get a glycerin one too if you don't want alcohol, albeit the ones that are steeped in alcohol tend to absorb better, like it's a better pull, like the alcohol is a better pull for the herbs to get the constituents out than a glycerin is. But that would be a tincture, so that'd be like a bit stronger than having a thing of dandelion root tea. And sometimes coffee is also utilized as a bitter, because it is a bitter food, just like cocoa or chocolate is a bitter food, but they're both fruits. Coffee and chocolate are both fruits, but they're roasted. Like the cacao bean and the coffee bean look very different before they're roasted. And yes, coffee can get the bile flowing, so it can actually stimulate the production of digestive juices, which can also induce peristalsis. So it's kind of in the short term, it can help. But over time, coffee makes the stomach juices alkaline, which we do not want. We want alkaline blood. We want an acidic stomach. If we have alkaline stomach, we won't be able to digest things. So very important, like a lot of these things at work like that, like in the moment, yeah, it can help us, you know, get rid of the symptoms of like not using the bathroom or feeling uncomfortable. But over time, they make us more alkaline, like in the case of coffee. I'm not sure if the herbs I mentioned prior will make the stomach more alkaline. I would bet that coffee would do it more because it's just a stronger, it's much stronger than the bitters I mentioned. So just something to think about. Sometimes these things feel good in the moment, but when we think about the long term, it paints a bit of a different picture. And of course, everyone's body is going to do better or worse with this, depending on who they are, what their history is of their health, what their constitution is like. So it's everyone's bit individual. Number two ways to battle bloat is to consider carminatives. Many of the spices and flavorful herbs in our tea and culinary cabinets are considered carminative. These herbs stimulate digestion, similar to bitters, but via a different mechanism, and also act as antispasmodic to ease gas, pain, and bloating. Carminatives can be consumed in tea, liquid extract, pills and powder, in food forms, or simply chewed. Some examples. Fennel seeds relieve gas. If you've ever been to an Indian restaurant, you see that they kind of have fennel seeds sometimes. Sometimes some of them are actually coated with like some type of sugar glaze. They'll have those when you leave, especially with that Indian food, which tends to be a bit hard to digest. And most of the time, they're cooking it in the lowest quality oils you could possibly imagine. So fennel seeds relieve gas. Ginger stokes digestive fire. It's also warming. Cardamom eases bloating and increases digestion. And peppermint eases pain in the lower gastrointestinal tract. So all of these can help. But again, they don't get to the root cause. They just help with the symptoms, but this is a hell of a lot better than taking some Zog pill, right? And number three, probiotics and prebiotics. Well, the best probiotics and prebiotics come from food. So they go on to say that having the right mix of that helps you digest better, reduces inflammation, makes the gut less hospitable to, quote, pathogens, okay, less hospitable to toxicity, and improve overall health of the body. And they're saying eat things like kimchi and sauerkraut and kefir. I think the vegetative ferments are not nearly as helpful as the animal-based ones. Typically, the sauerkraut and the kimchi, people tend to eat those more when they eat a very cooked diet, and it's kind of works more in that context. But if you eat a diet that it consists of more fresh foods and raw foods, you probably won't find these things very appetizing. I don't really eat these things anymore. I just don't. And nowadays, if I want something fermented, I'm going to be eating something like kefir, you know, which is a fermented milk beverage, or I'm going to be eating something like high meat, which is fermented meat. And notice they always want to laud all these things like sauerkraut and kimchi, but they're not going to mention high meat. No, they're definitely, unless it's in a negative context. But yes, it's important to get foods that have bacteria on them. That's why it's important to, well, eat raw meat, eat raw eggs, raw honey, raw fish, right? at least eat some of these foods raw. And at least start with something like honey. Honey is a very easy raw food to get in. It's got enzymes, it's got minerals. Most people find it pretty tasty. And then with prebiotic food, you have things like asparagus, Jerusalem artichokes, leeks. Some of these are prebiotic foods. But of course, the most important thing is to eat a diet that isn't going to be full of dead food that bloats you, as opposed to using these herbs as a band-aid. That would be the better thing, but nevertheless, always good to know what to do in case the optimal path is not taken. So just a bit there about battling bloat. Again, bitters, carminatives, and eating food that is alive, right? What a thing, live food. And of course, most of the time when you say live food, people think you're talking about like raw veganism or something, right? And no, it's not like that. Those people eat a very different diet. Very, very different. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say about bloating. And now a bit more, just following on this vein of how to upgrade ourselves, how to do stuff naturally. So here's a bit more, a bit about spring cleaning the body. This is going to be good stuff. Always a good time of year to kind of lighten up and do things differently. It feels like kind of a transitional time right now too in the world. The energy feels very transitional, at least it does to me. Okay, as we shake off the sluggishness of winter, many of us feel an urge to spring clean our bodies and detox or cleanse. Yet health experts say such programs help jumpstart healthy new habits and not necessarily to be seen as short-term. Yeah, considering it short-term is not a good idea, just better to, you know, embrace a new way of seeing stuff, a healthier way of seeing stuff, which also pulls us away more from that Zog system, and it's an automatic area and upgrade. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the cosmetics we use, the materials we build with, and most notably the food we eat, are loaded with chemicals that are toxic to our metabolism. The system in the body designed to clear toxicity are overwhelmed, and this leads to imbalances and damage at the root of most dis-ease today. And of course, the allopathic system, Schistum, would like you to think that viruses, bacteria, fungi, parasites are the cause of dis-ease. Those things show up when the body has been poisoned. The poisoning causes the dis-ease, but if that was known, then their whole hollow hoax, allopathy, germ theory, vaccination thing would topple down. It would be nice to see that happen. Probably the best way to incur that is to just not utilize that system. Detoxification functions are performed by many different organs and tissues, including intestinal flora, the immune system, the nervous system, and the liver, so its balance can manifest in a multitude of ways. Symptoms of detox imbalance, including sleep and mood disorders, could be anything from lack of energy and libido, what they're calling an autoimmune disorder, which is just when you've been poisoned, inflammation, and cancer. While some health professionals say that detoxes are unnecessary because the body is capable of cleansing itself, others make a compelling case to help it along. Well, I think as opposed to just calling it a detox and being so focused on minimizing stuff, how about just eating in a way that suits the seasons, right? Like right now, it's spring. It makes sense to lighten up, to eat more herbs, right? To take in foods in a lighter, softer way. It just totally makes sense. You don't have to necessarily call it a detox. You can if you want to, or you can do a detox if, let's say, you just, I don't know, it was after Christmas and you felt like you needed to kind of shift a little bit. Everyone will know, I guess, if they're in touch with themselves, when and how they need to do this. So there are simple dietary strategies to help sweep out toxins. They're telling us to eat cruciferous vegetables. I'm not really so big of a fan of those, especially raw. I don't really think that they're the best thing to eat because they can be goitrogenic and that can be not so hot for the thyroid. berries are actually a way better of a detox food. Berries are actually helpful in pulling heavy metals out of the body. Of course, if you've had heavy metals in your body for a long time from childhood vaccinations and amalgam fillings, it always works best if someone was like freshly assaulted than to backpedal. But berries, especially berries with cream, raw cream, of course, is a really good way to pull out heavy metals from the body. They're also saying turmeric too. Turmeric can be helpful. I wouldn't take the turmeric pills though. I would just use a little bit of it fresh or in a ghee, because you don't want to use too much of that. Again, that can be an herb that has a tendency to be slightly estrogenic and can also up someone's serotonin, that of course not being the happy hormone or the happy neurotransmitter. So again, it's always important to know the context of things, not to go buck wild with turmeric, just a little bit. You know, you don't really have to go crazy with these things. Zog will always promote something in an extreme way, whether it's the body we're supposed to have or the context of how we're supposed to consume something. And of course, there are ways to excrete. The excretion process can happen through the lymph system. It can happen through sweat, through urination, through a bowel movement. For women, it would be out of the vagina, which is a mucous membrane, blowing your nose, things, you know, out of your eyes, coughing up stuff out of your throat. So all of these are detox mechanisms of the body. And when you're detoxing, you might actually have more utilization of those areas. Of course, using clean water is very important, whether you're looking to kind of spring clean your body or not, making sure that you have a clean source of water, eating organic foods when you can, very important. And something that also can be very nice for detoxing, this may sound kind of funky compared to what we usually hear about detox beverages. We hear about people talking about like some vegan tranny, like protein shake, or, you know, wheatgrass. Of course, wheatgrass will alkalize the stomach digestive juices. So that's not what we want. Pretty much does the same thing as coffee. So that's not something that we want to be taking. Of course, those tranny protein powders are absolute garbage. Nothing in it is bioavailable. It's heavy processed. All the anti-nutrients are pretty much denatured and locked in. It's absolute crud. It's just one of the oy vey scams. I went over a lot of the whole protein powder hoax in my bodybuilding show. If anyone's interested in more of that information, you can scroll back the archives. So what's really hydrating? Celery juice is actually really good. Nutrients and hydration. And of course, it's good because sometimes the celery itself can be difficult to digest, like to chew like the fibrous bits. So it can be easier to consume when you just slosh it back with the juice. And a very good source of sodium too, celery juice. It's very nice if you mix it with a little bit of cucumber. That makes a very, very nice drink. That's a good source of natural sodium, good source of silica, tasty, a good way to start the morning. And I feel like this is a good way to kind of stimulate digestion and also perk you up first thing in the morning as well, and kind of be a replacement for something that possibly could be caffeinated. So something else, deep detox, or mentioning fasting. I'm not a fan of this. If someone's going to quote fast, they should fast from taking in the Talmud vision. They should fast from, eating seed oils. You know, they should fast from just eating garbage. But the idea of fasting and not taking in food, I don't think that's very wise. Food heals and builds. It's way safer and simpler to fast from low quality habits and foods than to completely deprive and starve the body. That will shrink the organs, actually. That's why people think they lose weight. They've actually just shrunk their organs. You don't want to shrink your organs. Definitely not. Then Zog will try to sell you like some new one or tell you to cut it out or something crazy like that. So what's better if you want to give your digestion a break is to eat foods that don't tax your digestion. Some good foods would be raw animal foods. Raw eggs digest faster than anything. Something else would be like a smoothie or a milkshake, which I know sounds totally counter to what the Zog system shitstem will tell you to do. But you can get a lot of amazing nutrients and, quote, fast while you're eating all this delicious food. Just wanted to share a recipe for a cherry smoothie. I make this, like, I don't know, a few times a week. It's very good. It's very simple. All you do is you take one cup of cherries. I like cherries, but you could use whatever you want. Cherries are a really good source of vitamin C. I just like the taste and the flavor. I use frozen organic cherries. I try to leave them out on the counter just so they get like a little less cold, because I like to have stuff like a little more room temperature than like very, very icy. So I mix that in a glass blender, of course, with one cup of raw milk. I like goat milk. You can use whatever milk you fancy. Then I add one raw egg. Just crack it in there. Okay, so one cup of raw milk, one cup of fruit. I like cherries. One raw egg. And then I add like a teaspoon of honey or maple syrup. And then I buzz that up. Oh, if I have some vanilla bean too, or a little bit of vanilla extract, I will add that. And then I buzz this whole thing up. And then I have this delicious raw protein shake that has 14 grams of protein. If I wanted to make it more protein rich, I could just add more eggs. I could double the amount of milk. A lot of people just use a lot of eggs. Like some people eat like 30 eggs a day. I don't really do that. I eat probably like four. But this is a very tasty smoothie. It's a perfect thing for a snack. It's very good after a workout. And it's incredibly tasty. It's not like one of those tranny protein shakes that's going to taste like absolute crud. This actually tastes like food because it is food. So that's a good thing to have if you're spring cleansing, or even if you're not cleansing and you're just looking to be healthy, right? And you're constantly in a mode of just airing an upgrade. So a little bit there about spring cleansing, eating good foods, taking in rich liquids, nutritiously rich liquids like milkshakes or smoothies and celery juice. A milkshake would be a bit different. You'd probably replace the cherries with a bit of cream, and that would kind of be like more of like a milkshake type of thing. But these coat our stomach. These are also thought to help people who have issues like IBS or Crohn's, because when people have such inflammation in their digestive tract, they need to get nutrients in ASAP, but they need to eat something that doesn't tax their digestive system. So fasting really sounds senseless once we kind of pick this apart and comprehend what's going on. We want to feed our body stuff that it doesn't reject, that's highly nutritious, as opposed to starving it or just throwing in a bunch of stuff that we think is healthy that's probably dead and has no bioavailable nutrition. But of course, they always promote that. Like this article was promoting the exact that, and I used my Aerian filtration system to see past that. So just a bit there about spring cleaning. And finally, for the final article that I have for this little mini show, Aerian Upgrade, I wanted to talk a little bit about some beauty treatments throughout the world, not just the white world, but the whole world. And this is really cool. It's just nice to see how many things people do to keep themselves looking good, feeling good naturally. And oftentimes when I do these broadcasts, I'm doing like a spa treatment, like whilst I'm doing the broadcast. Plus my radio is so nice because I right now have this mud mask on my face, but nobody knows. Well, now everyone knows, but no one knew prior because I don't have video going on. I'm just using the microphone. So what I did, and I do this, I try to do it like once a week or so, I steam my face. So I take like a glass bowl and I fill it with hot water. That's from the tea kettle. And then I put in this herbal tea that's actually sold as laxative tea. Like it's sold if you have to like poop. But also if you look at the back of the box, you can make like a facial with it. It's called Swiss Kris. Swiss, like the country, like, you know, like Swiss cheese. And then Kris, K-R-I-S-S. So what I do is I just throw in a tea bag. I make it myself. I buy my own tea bags. You buy this stuff loose. And then you just drape your head over this glass bowl that's filled with hot water and the Swiss Kris tea bag. And then you put a bath towel or whatever over your head, and you breathe this steam in for about 10 minutes or so. It opens your lungs and it feels really good too. You can breathe it in through your nose and your mouth. Do not add essential oils when you're doing this, because those can be volatile, and that would not be good to get those vapors up your nose and your mouth in such a close proximity. So I do this, and then after I come out of it, my face feels like kind of like moist, and it feels like very smooth, and that's a little bit, you know, pink. And then what I do is I put a mask on, and it depends what type of mask I'm doing. I oscillate between a mask of like saturated fat or a mask of like a drying cleansing mask, a clay mask. So today I have a mask on of Terramin clay, which is a clay that Agnes von der Planitz recommends. It's a very mineralizing clay. Sometimes I use French green clay. This is a brown clay that I'm using, the Terramin. And I mix that with some goat Greek yogurt. And I have it on my face right now. It's actually kind of falling off a little bit because it's kind of like peeling off. But that's what I do. And that's a great beauty treatment. You don't have to go to some Zog salon and pay someone all this money to do that type of stuff. Although there are places that can give a really nice organic facial, but those can be costly. And this doesn't cost me that much. And it keeps my face looking good. I'm not a big user of a lot of makeup and stuff like that. I pretty much just stick to eye makeup. I don't use foundation or anything like that because when your skin is naturally nice, that's what shines through. And of course, eating good food will help too. So many people are buying all these lotions and potions for their face when they're eating crud, right? And everything you eat essentially is builds your beauty or it decreases it or your, you know, your handsomeness. So just a little beauty tip right there with my mask and what I do. And when I do the one that's saturated fat, I'll just rub like a bunch of tallow on my face or shea butter or lanolin and like a very thick amount of that. And then I'll just allow that to soak into my face. So that's what I do. Inexpensive treatment to keep my face looking good. So here's a little bit about secrets of natural beauty across the world. How you look at yourself in the mirror may depend on where you live. We traveled across the globe virtually to gather cultural perspectives as well as natural health and beauty secrets. And we picked up some lifestyle and health trends along the way. So here are some perspectives of beauty. The first one coming from France, or France, as Mike likes to call it. France, naturally beautiful. The French aspire to be au naturel, but they can be secretive about the beauty routines they use to pull off that natural look in an attempt to conceal what it took to look so naturally beautiful. And instead of trying to cover up blemishes with makeup, most learn how to wash and care for their skin at a young age. And yeah, it seems like more in this culture, people are just covering everything up. I see more and more young girls or young women when I'm out that just have all this stuff, like these super long nails and super long eyelashes, platinum bleached hair, you know, fully made up face. And like, how about just focusing on eating well, taking care of your skin, things like this, as opposed to piling on all that zoggery. India, Ayurvedic medicine. In Ayurvedic medicine, beauty radiates from the inside of someone who is internally healthy and encompasses your mind, body, and soul. Modern Indians inherit ancient Ayurvedic remedies from the previous generation. Of course, it's ours originally, it's Aryan. However, Ayurvedic practitioners can accurately prescribe you these remedies according to your dosha, your genetic constitution combined with diet and lifestyle. And of course, everyone has a different dosha. I've talked about this before on shows in the past. There are three doshas. There is Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Most people are a combination of two. Some are tridoshic, where they're all three. I tend to lean more towards Vata Pitta most of the time, but sometimes I can lean towards the Pitta and the Kapha too. And that could also seasonally change too. Your dosha explains why you have dry, oily, or healthy skin, for example. Modern cosmetic companies have often consulted ancient Ayurvedic texts for ingredients to use in their formulations. Yeah, that drives me nuts too, Sarmenti, when I see like the girls with the blonde wigs and the weave. I remember many years ago, even in like the 90s and the 80s, thinking like, what is this? Even seeing Asians with it too, but you typically see it more on Black women. And you know what's so mind-boggling? When there's like some white guy who has dreads and like Blacks are saying cultural appropriation, and then you point out that one of their Black celebrities like Beyonce has blonde hair and like, you know, then they call you a racist or something. I mean, it's crazy. I think in general, black, Asian, white, just stick to your regular hair color. You know, you can eat foods to make your hair look better. You can, you know, to make the color look better. I mean, people who say they don't like the color of their hair, like it's a mousy color, like eat better food and your hair will actually look better. The color will actually, just like with your eyes, like the reason people probably have to pay so much money for all this zoggery, like blonde wigs and weaves and all the long nails and all this, is because they're really not taking care of their innate beauty, right? Or it's been ruined via zog. China, traditional Chinese medicine, TCM. Natural beauty is an indication of well-balanced internal system and associated with healthy flow of blood and qi. Qi, of course, is their word for prana or vril, right? We know that we are in the presence of natural beauty due to our fundamental interconnectedness and the vibration of health and positive emotion that we feel when we are receptive in the presence of naturally beautiful people. And of course, we feel this way when we walk through a naturally beautiful forest. We feel this way when we see a beautiful piece of architecture. But now in this Zagozag world, you see this like hideous, angular piece of Jewish architecture and like it feels soulless and cold. Like that's not going to make you feel good. Being around beauty creates beauty, you know, like that's contagious. No virus is contagious, but we need to bring back beauty because so much of the world is just, it's destitute. So those are some international perspectives about beauty from France, India, and China. And here's a bit about beauty go-tos, like what you can do utilizing some natural ingredients to have better hair, skin, nails, all that jazz. So spices, virgin coconut oil, and aloe vera, again from India. Here are all the beauty products you need in your kitchen. If you're putting something on your skin, it should be edible. That way there is no question on whether it's toxic. And yes, that's a pretty good meter stick to use. Before their weddings, brides are traditionally painted with a mixture of turmeric, chickpea flour, milk, and herbs such as sandalwood, which beautifies the skin. For dry skin, mix equal parts of coconut oil and aloe vera and massage it into your face every day. This elixir works on wrinkles too, because wrinkles begin with dry skin. So there we go, using aloe vera and virgin coconut oil. And you could, of course, buy aloe in a bottle, or you could go one step better and just get the fresh aloe leaf. That's a very nice cooling mixture right there of coconut oil and aloe vera. I think both of those foods would be considered cooling, according to Ayurveda as well. Here's a bit from China in regards to beauty go-tos. The jade roller and the gua sha tool. Perhaps if you're a lady, or maybe even if you're a guy, you've heard of jade rolling, or you've heard of an ancient Chinese technique called gua sha. Outside appearance reflects the inside state. Preserving natural beauty then means minding the basics of health, such as reducing stress, getting plenty of sleep, avoiding activities that lead to imbalances, such as excessive drinking and worrying. Tip: to improve facial circulation and reduce puffiness, the ancient Chinese skincare tool of the jade roller can be utilized. Chill before use to reduce skin irritation, so you could store this jade roller in the fridge. Roll from the center of the face outward, below the eyes, then upward towards the forehead. The roller can then be used downward toward the neck to the peripheries to help draining. So this helps with lymph draining. You could also do a lymph draining massage by just massaging your face as well. But this will kind of help drain it. Like if you wake up one day after taking a shitload of salt or alcohol or white flour, white sugar, you'll have like a puffed out look sometimes to your face. So you can just not eat those foods, or you can use something like a jade roller. Also, did I mention alcohol? Alcohol, caffeine, salt, white flour, white sugar. They say dairy too, but that's really A1, like cauterized, pasteurized, homogenized dairy. It's not raw dairy. It definitely doesn't happen with raw dairy. Otherwise, I would look like a puffy Asian person, and I don't. So yeah, these rollers help. They can help drain the lymphatic puffiness, like that puffiness out of your face. A facial tool called gua sha, and this kind of just looks like like a little elliptical type of half moon shaped thing. Some of them kind of look a little bit different like that. Some have like a little indent where you can hold your finger. You can Google this if you're interested, or use any other search engine. Guasha, gua sha. It's a smooth half moon shaped stone that could also be helpful for improving circulation. It provides gentle facial massage to relieve tight muscles and reduce the appearance of wrinkles due to tension. And these can also be used on the body as well. But sometimes it can make you bruise too. So you have to be careful with that. Another beauty go-to, this one from Brazil this time, coconut oil for face, body, and hair. Locals praise coconut oil for saving their skin and hair from the drying effects of sun and salt water. Clinical studies show virgin coconut oil improves symptoms of skin disorders through moisturizing and soothing the skin. So using it for face, body, and hair. Pretty cool. And here are some nutrients, a little bit of a recap from before, things that are good for the skin. Remember, when we eat food, it's not just takes our hunger away and makes us smile. It also helps us, you know, rebuild our bodies. So one of those would be collagen. Most people take this in a supplement form. It's more processed that way. You can get this by just eating a nose-to-tail diet. It can improve hydration and reduce wrinkles in the skin. Well, the skin is made of collagen. That's why when you see these people doing these vegan diets, you see their skin, not even a vegan diet, just a diet that doesn't have, is a malnourishing diet. A vegan diet is just kind of a better idea of that because it's free of all the animal products. You see their faces don't look that good. They look broken down. Octopus is actually a very good source of collagen. I really like it quite a bit. Another thing they're mentioning is ashwagandha. This is an Ayurvedic adaptogenic, an anti-inflammatory herb, has antioxidants, can prevent or protect from cells aging. But again, that's just kind of more of a Band-Aid. I'm not a big fan of this herb personally. I think it smells kind of like horse poop. I have it, but I really just don't use it. But to each their own, you know. Vitamin C can protect against ultraviolet rays and reduce signs of aging in the skin. You can use a vitamin C-rich serum on your face. You could also eat ruminant spleen. Spleen is an organ that's high in C. You can take sheep dairy products like sheep kefir, sheep yogurt, things like that, sheep butter, sheep cream. And of course, vitamin C is in abundance in many things like citrus fruit, peppers, right? A lot of fruits, other fruits too, are rich in vitamin C, cherries. So there's many ways to get vitamin C into the diet, tomatoes. Turmeric, we talked a little bit before. That can also be good for the skin, but of course you don't want to have too much of it, just like anything else, you know, in the context. And vitamins A and E, these are really important for the skin. These keep the skin looking healthy. The best source of vitamin A is ruminant liver, like a beef liver, bison liver, elk liver, lamb liver, etc. And vitamin E is found in a lot of raw things, like raw meat, raw dairy, things like that. And there's other sources too. I think some of the seafoods also have vitamin E. And also if you eat certain nuts raw, of course, then that would be polyunsaturated fats in some of those nuts. But if you're eating it raw, it's a little bit different. Walnuts have some vitamin E, but then of course they're thought to be the ones that have the most amount of other fats that aren't so nice, like the HUFAs, the highly unsaturated fatty acids. So you kind of have to just make it work for you and comprehend the context that works for you. And of course, when you eat stuff in their raw form, it's going to have more of the nutrients in it. When you cook it, you're going to cook it out, of course. It's just something to be aware of. You know, it never hurts to be aware of these things. Whether you follow them 100% of the time or not, it's always good to be aware of these things. OG is saying, I saw an interview of Jada Pinkett Smith who had her hair dyed blonde at the time and was saying she gets triggered by white women with blonde hair. I think I remember hearing about that. Like white women shouldn't have blonde hair or black with black skin. Hilarious. Just, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, that's just, that almost sounds like they've been induced on with some chutzpah trance by the Oyves when you hear crud like that, right? Mind-zoggling. And finally, here are some natural lifestyle trends for better health and beauty. And these come from a couple of other countries. So here are some trends out of like Scandinavia and Netherlands, biking instead of driving. According to a 2018 report by the Dutch government, people in Netherlands cycle over 25% of their total trips and Denmark 15%. As for us Americans, we cycle less than 5% during our total number of trips. And yeah, having a bike is nice if you live in an area where it's safe to ride a bike. But I'm also a bit leery of that sometimes. I think like part of this whole big Zog reset is to get everyone like not owning a car. But of course, I think it's nice to have the option of both. Cold water plunges, Russia. Many Russians swear by cold water plunges. These icy dunks typically range from 1 to 5 minutes. Adherents attest to a euphoric feeling, improved immunity, better joint health and skin, and a decrease in fat deposits and cellulite. On the other hand, Russian scientists who studied this practice recommend caution as it may be harmful to the body over time. And yeah, it can induce stuff like a heart attack. I've known of someone who actually had a heart attack from doing the cold water plunge. It is not a good thing to do if you have hypothyroidism either. So maybe, you know, depending on the context, of course, maybe doing it a few times in your life or a few times a season. It really depends, as opposed to hitting it hard over again. Well, probably not the best thing. But of course, we have to use our heads and use our intuition, you know, as opposed to listening to Zog 24/7. Use your own intuition to discern if something is right for you at this time. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it will be in 6 months or not. Forest bathing. This is a pretty groovy thing. I've been hearing about this the last couple of years. Forest bathing, Japan. Forest bathing, Shirin Yoku, involves slowly walking through the forest whilst taking in the environment with all your senses. Keys to the experience is the inhalation of the wood essential oils, similar to natural aromatherapy, but visual. Auditory and other sensory stimuli are also important. And the other day I was out in some nature and I spotted a cedar tree and there was some sap coming out of the cedar tree. So I put my finger up to the sap and it was exceedingly tacky. And I just smelled it and my finger smelled like cedar oil. It was so nice to just be able to smell something so natural, right? Scientific studies support the idea that forest bathing has positive effects on physical and mental health, including a decrease in pulse rate and lessening of negative moods such as anxiety, depression, fatigue, and confusion. Of course, being in nature is always going to soothe the soul. It makes total sense. It makes total sense. That's why people who live in cities typically seem to be pretty miserable. And finally, a natural lifestyle trend out of South Korea, Jimunjibang. A trip to the Jimunjibang, a spa with a bathhouse with bathwater temperatures ranging from about 100 to 108 Fahrenheit, and sauna, is a health and beauty secret of South Koreans. In the sauna, you may relax whilst lying on a hemp mat or jade or salt crystals. South Koreans are big fans of exfoliating at the bath. You can do it yourself or ask your ajumma, your auntie, to scrub you down. And I've been to one of these Korean spas. There's one of them in one of the boroughs in New York. And I went to one of them once. And it's like segregated like by sex. So like there's certain areas like just for ladies and just for guys. Because there's a lot of nudity going on when these Korean ladies are just like scrubbing people who are totally naked. And your skin just kind of peels off from this treatment. You can buy these Korean spa gloves on Amazon and scrub yourself with them. They are kind of abrasive. I kind of prefer just the scrubby gloves in the shower myself. But taking a bath is always very nice. It's a nice, gentle way to do a detox, is take a bath. It's so relaxing. And I think I read the other day that soaking in the tub for an hour, which is kind of like a long time, is the same calorie burn as a half hour walk. So you could just like be soaking in the tub, like just chilling, you know, or taking a walk, or you could do both too, you know, not have to do just one. So that was the end of that article right there about different beauty secrets. It's nice to see around the world what people do. Every culture or race has like a little bit of something going on. We can all kind of, well, add it to our area and upgrade. So that's the end of this little tidbit of a broadcast, Health Bites with Tabitha, Aryan Upgrade. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast, a little bit of fresh, easy listening compared to some of the harder hitting stuff I've been talking about as of late, which has been rather intense. All this Oyid stuff, it's so tiring hearing about all this stuff over and over again. I just saw at the CDC, the Center for Kosher Disease and Kikery, as of May 14, which is 3 days by now, and now, they're going to stop, I think, reporting like the death toll or something like that, or only report certain ones. So they'll be, of course, just like the Holo hoax, numbers out of thin air, right? That's one of their things that they like. But a very transitional, almost pivotal time in the world right now. A lot of people are opposed to what's going on. They may not be racialists. They may have never even thought in that way before, but nevertheless, they are still opposed. They may not even know, actually, the hidden tentacle or the hidden Hydra head and who or Jew is behind it. They just might not even know that, but nevertheless, it's a transitional time to be alive, but it feels like a powerful time to be alive, even though it can be difficult being alive right now because things are moving so quickly and everything just kind of seems like it's up in the air. But I guess that's really the way it's always been, right? There is no guarantees. Best thing to do is probably just to pull away from the Zog system, make yourself as healthy and strong as possible, become skillful, and most importantly of all, become spiritually prepared. Not to say that like in a way that people should be frightened or anything like that, but spiritual preparation for the ebbs and flows that this world might experience, I think, is a handy thing to have in our Aryan upgrade. So once again, I am Tabitha. You were listening to Health Bites with Tabitha, Aryan Upgrade. Be sure to catch all the wonderful broadcasts over here at the one and only American National Radio Network. Hope everyone is having a groovy Tuesday, right? Yeah, Testicle Tuesday. Not really, but anyway, okay. Satnam, everybody.